Good morning. You're tuned in to Community Radio, listener-supported KGNU. I'm Maeve Conran, and coming up on today's Morning Magazine, we'll hear from the NAACP Boulder chapter. They've just put out a survey for people of colour asking about how their lives have been impacted by wearing facial coverings. That is the advice and, in fact, the recommendations being given by local authorities to wear a facial cover when out in public. However, nationwide, people of colour are reporting that they're fearful to do that because of the potential for an increase in harassment and even violence, not just by members of the public, but also by the police. We'll hear more about the survey coming up after headlines. After that, we'll hear how some nannies are now pivoting, and instead of just providing childcare, they're also providing homeschool services. We'll hear about the impact of that. After that, we'll round out this morning's news on public affairs, and we'll hear from the chair of the Mountain Forum for Peace in Netherlands. It's part of the Ned Speaks Oral History Project. After headlines from the BBC and a commentary from Jim Hightower, we'll hear more of the conversation that we brought you last Wednesday morning between David Barsamian and Noam Chomsky. We'll bring you more of the politics of the pandemic. That's coming up at 8:35. Then at 9 o'clock, it is media analysis from Counterspin, rounding out this morning's news and public affairs. And we are having some technical issues. We've just had a power surge here in the studio. Do stand by. We'll bring you local headlines. Yesterday, Governor Jared Polis said that he expects many public K through 12 schools will open this fall in Colorado and elsewhere. He told Fox News Sunday that it's not going to look like any other school year and things will likely run in a hybrid fashion. Interactions in hallways and during lunchtime will be limited, and up to 20% of kids will continue with online classes at home if that is the preference of their parents. He said that schools could also close periodically when there is an outbreak. The governor also ordered Saturday that workers at essential government businesses and critical government jobs must continue to wear masks when at work until at least June 15th. The mask order has already been in place for 30 days, and Governor Polis cited the continuing need to slow the spread of COVID-19. Workers in grocery stores and restaurants, liquor stores, food processing plants, among others, must wear masks and should also wear gloves if provided by employers. While the general public in Colorado is not required to wear masks, at least 15 cities and counties, including Denver and Boulder, require face coverings for all individuals in public businesses and spaces. It will be easier now for people to collect signatures for ballot measures. On Friday, Governor Polis signed an executive order allowing the Secretary of State to create temporary rules so signatures can be collected by mail or email. The governor also ordered that unaffiliated and independent candidates for office be allowed to gather signatures by mail or by email. The Denver Post reports that the fate of several ballot measures have been hanging in the balance, including a proposal for paid family leave. The changes in rules has been a sensitive topic in the last several weeks. Some say it is necessary and others argue that it could open a Pandora's box. In response to the governor's order, the Denver Chamber of Commerce said in a release that it was a violation of our constitution, but a coalition of health and child advocacy groups applauded the governor's action, including those that advocate an initiative that would increase taxes on tobacco and nicotine products. On Friday, the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment changed the way that it reports deaths from the coronavirus. Now, the state includes a tally of total fatalities among people who had COVID-19, but the disease was not listed as the cause of death on the death certificate. As of Sunday, 1,215 people who had the virus have died, with 878 of those listed as caused by it. The number of deaths caused by COVID-19 remained unchanged from the prior day. And as of yesterday, less than 500 remained hospitalised with the virus. That's the lowest number since the end of March. Denver area hospitals report that the number of emergency room visits were down anywhere from 30 to 50% in April. This is compared to the same month last year. The Denver Post reports that the fewer numbers could be due to fewer accidents from work or outdoor activities. But according to an emergency room physician, that doesn't explain why hospitals are seeing fewer heart attacks and strokes. Dr. Richard Zane of CU's School of Medicine says that not a single day goes by that they don't see people who have had symptoms with things like stroke or heart attack for days, but have delayed going to the hospital. Emergency responders and hospitals are encouraging patients to use virtual care options if appropriate and to seek emergency care should it be needed. They emphasise that they have measures in place to handle the coronavirus. Boulder County health workers are having trouble getting some people to share the information needed to track the progress of COVID-19. The Daily Camera reports that such information is critical to public health and the key to the county's recovery from the pandemic. Chana Gusatis, who's the spokesperson for the County Health Department, said that the problem is an increasing trend, particularly among the Spanish-speaking population. She added that it's possibly related to immigration status, as well as concerns about joblessness. If someone is identified as exposed to the virus, the belief may be that their employer would fire them even if they don't have symptoms. She also said that it is likely that some just aren't comfortable making a public record of everyone that they've been in touch with on a day-to-day basis. Health officials emphasised that in order to limit the spread, its staff needs those who have been sick to recall and share the details of everyone with whom they've had close contact during the time that they were infectious. The department does not share the data with anyone. About 30 people are working to get in touch with those contacts to inform them of their potential exposure as rapidly and as sensitively as possible. A coalition of affordable housing organizations in Colorado is urging an emergency plan that could stave off mass evictions and foreclosures if the state and local leaders can find the money for it. The total price tag, according to the plan, would be nearly $300 million. The 15-member Neighborhood Development Collaborative sent a letter to the governor and other state officials earlier this month calling for almost $200 million to support the tens of thousands of renters who will not be able to pay their rent when the governor's moratorium on evictions expires at the end of this month. Nearly $100 million would help those who can't pay their mortgages. The Denver Post reports that the Neighborhood Development Collaborative was born out of the Great Recession about a decade ago. Its letter to government officials was in an effort to be proactive and identified potential funding sources. Warm and sunny, that is the forecast today. Expect temperatures close to the upper 80s in and around the Boulder area and almost getting to 90 degrees in Denver. Sunny skies and tomorrow the same, mostly sunny with high around 87 degrees. It is 12 minutes past 8 o'clock. You're listening to KGNU. The United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres recently said that the coronavirus pandemic continues to unleash a tsunami of hate and xenophobia, scapegoating and fear-mongering. And he urged governments to act now to strengthen the immunity of our societies against the virus of hate. Meanwhile, here in the US, many local authorities around the country are advising people to wear a facial covering while out in public. For people of colour, though, that can be a scary prospect, and many have expressed fears that wearing a face mask in public would expose them to harassment and even violence, and not just from members of the public, but also from the police. The NAACP of Boulder County has created a survey for people of colour to document harassment and racial discrimination in Boulder County since the advice to wear a protective face covering was implemented. KGNU's Rosanna Longo spoke with Susan Frechner of the NAACP in Boulder.
Before COVID-19 was present in Colorado, for years there's been distrust of any person of color. This is just part of our history and ongoing even today, that people see someone they're not familiar with of a different color, and they become afraid. Well, if you add on to that the mask that partially covers the face, the protective face covering, that distress is heightened. And there have been an increase in Colorado and across the country. There's been an increase of harassment and racism, particularly in settings in stores, grocery stores, hardware stores, that sort of thing. So it's really important that we bring this to highlight, because we have the survey so that people can let us know what their experiences have been, and we can get a better idea of where and when this is happening, and have the data so that we can use, so we can see how we can make a change for the better.
In this headline that I was translating into Spanish, it was giving us the data of recent discrimination and not nice events for people that are Jewish, or that they identified as from the Jewish religion or the Jewish tribe.
That's true also, and there's been a lot of anti-Semitism has increased greatly in our country and in other countries as well. There have been more attacks on Jews in and around synagogues, and racial slurs and bigotry.
It is not an easy moment, and you made a reference about the covering our faces when somebody cannot even see you completely, and you know all these feelings that arise when you cannot see the expressions of a person in her or his or they face.
That's so true. And even if we know someone well, we find that it's hard to read the expressions of our friends and colleagues. But imagine what it's like when there's someone who looks so completely different, and then the face, half of their face is covered. And for many, this is a signal that there's going to be a crime committed, because often when there are crimes, the people who are perpetrating the bank robbery or store robbery, whatever it is, they're covering their face so that they won't be recognized in cameras or by bystanders. So now, with everyone wearing these face masks, people are just more on their guard. They feel less secure already because of the fear of the virus. And then when you add in this face covering, it becomes an even more scary situation.
So how can people access this survey, and what are you requiring for people to put in if they go into the survey?
The survey is on our website. That's NAACP BoulderCounty.org, and you'll see at the top it will say COVID-19, and you can take the survey in either English or in Spanish, and you can remain completely anonymous. We don't need to have your name, but it helps us very much if you could share the incident that you're writing about with us, so that we can have that information to share with our community leaders.
Why did you decide to have the questionnaire, or the survey, I should say, in English and in Spanish? Have you heard, or has it come to your attention, that people in the Hispanic Latinx community have experienced issues of racism and discrimination against them?
Yes, it's not only in the Black community and the Hispanic community, but Asians as well. And it's just a general distrust and fear that has grown. Because of the virus, people are more on edge. And then when people's faces are covered, it becomes just the fear is heightened. So this survey came about after a meeting with Governor Polis. He had invited all of the leaders from NAACP branches and other groups. We're all part of the Rocky Mountain region of the Colorado, Wyoming, Montana conference. And so we had, he was talking with people from all across our state and was told that really the biggest fear is that there may be violence perpetrated against someone of color who is wearing a face mask, that they may be confused with someone who may be about to commit a crime. So we talked about this in our own meeting, and we decided that our best call to action was to create a survey on our website so that we could document these incidents and have something real that we could share with community leaders. And then after this, the other statewide site was also created, the COVID-19 Healthy Equity Response Team that's with the Colorado government.
Why is it so important at this point to bring this to our attention?
Well, I think if you aren't interested in this topic and you're just not familiar with it, you may not know anything about this being an issue. And it's important to let people know that these things are happening in their community and that they can do something, that they can do something proactive to make their community safer by saying, hello, we're in this together. But it's important because if we know that people within our community are fearful because they are a person of color and because they are wearing a face mask, that can let us be more open and welcoming to them at this time. What we're seeing across our country, that people who are in the service industries, they have very few choices. They either work in sometimes dangerous situations or they don't have the opportunity to work at all. It seems that it's the dollar that rules. The companies will say if you don't want to work, you don't need to work, but then there's no income. And people are often exposed not only in this case to COVID, but in many ways and times to transportation, to and from a place, but public transportation can be contaminated, the workplace can be contaminated, and so you're talking about exposure on many levels, and it's really not right.
That was Susan Frechner with NAACP, Boulder County, giving us an update of the importance of this survey and the importance of getting support when you feel discriminated. For KGNU, I am Rosanna Longo.
And you can find that survey online at naacpbouldercounty.org/resources. It is 8:23. You're listening to KGNU. Well, childcare has been a major issue during the pandemic, with a lot of childcare centres being closed down, certainly in the early days. Many families who particularly have frontline workers have relied on nannies, people coming into their homes to look after their children. But now with homeschooling being part of the new reality, it's placing extra pressure on those nannies. As part of our series highlighting some of the work produced by students at CU Boulder this past semester, we'll bring you this report from Reese Greiner.
As millions of Americans are out of work due to the COVID-19 pandemic, some have tapped into a market that currently has a very high demand for workers, childcare.
My name is Avery Phillips. I am 22, and during the coronavirus pandemic, I've been working as a private nanny for a family.
Avery Phillips is one such childcare worker. She nannies for a couple of families, but right now she spends most of her time with two little girls.
I watch over two girls. The youngest is 5 months old, so she's a little baby. And the older girl is in first grade, and she's 7.
Taking care of the baby was Phillips' primary task before COVID-19. But with the first grader participating in distance learning, Phillips has become a part-time teacher as well. The transition to schooling at home has been taxing on elementary schoolers across the nation.
Truly, I think the curriculum is expecting her to get through about what she would get through in a typical day when she was going to school. But there are days where we definitely have to adjust because she feels really, really frustrated.
This has been stressful for Phillips to manage, she said. But she wonders if households without a child caregiver are coping as well.
A lot of families don't have that, and the parents are trying to work, and the kids need help with their math, or they need a snack, or they need a play partner, because all of these things used to be provided to them in a school setting, and now is an added responsibility that the parents have, while simultaneously everyone is adjusting to working, playing, and schooling at home.
It's a growing concern among parents and caregivers alike. Will every child get the education they need with the variety of home situations out there?
As I'm complaining about, my kids don't in general seem to have enough to do, especially my older one. There's other parents that are complaining about way too much to do for their children, and that being just really the problem. So I think it can go any which way, and it does go a lot of different ways.
Sarah Adlerstein, the mother of two preteen boys who Phillips also nannies, is dissatisfied with her children's distance education. She recently discovered that one of her sons has been cheating on math homework with a friend.
He has no idea how to do any of the math that he's been assigned. I'm finally, after now it's been maybe 4 weeks, finally figuring it out that this has been a total disaster.
Both boys attend different schools due to their age difference, and Adlerstein feels that schools are not doing a good enough job at facilitating an at-home learning environment.
Like, why can't they have a day of school online like they used to?
While Adlerstein's children are mildly struggling, she's also concerned for other children who might be doing even worse, either because parents are busy working or because of economic inequality.
Of course, the obvious concern is what about the children who just, first of all, who don't even have internet? there's a lot of people who don't have internet. They don't have computers.
If the pandemic continues and schools are not providing adequate education to her kids, Adlerstein has considered moving her children to a permanent homeschool program. She's very concerned about the response from public schools during this pandemic.
Feels like a short-term solution that's been unfortunately dragged out for now, a few months. This could be the beginning of a real unraveling for a lot of kids who had barely been on the track. This could just really push them completely off.
Phillips agrees. She argued that changes will have to be made to ensure that kids learn what they need to in schools.
In first grade, it's okay if she's spending most of her time playing. But the expectation also is that when she comes back, she has a really concrete understanding of the difference between two-dimensional versus three-dimensional shapes, and how to tell time, and how to do some basic math problems with addition, which are pretty big foundational skills. A lot of kids are just being plopped in front of a screen and being asked to be independent for 8 hours a day while mom and dad are working. So it's interesting, definitely, to be involved in a caretaker position right now, and I'm fortunate that I have a great family to work for, but definitely a lot of adjustments day to day are needing to be made.
This has been Reese Greiner.
And Reese Greiner is a student at CU Boulder. We're highlighting some of the work done by students. He was a student in CMCI, and that was a project that he produced as part of the audio production class. And throughout the week, we're going to be hearing from more students. Tomorrow, we're going to hear from some grad students in the Environmental Studies program who've been producing radio stories around environmental and social justice issues as well. It is 8:28. You're listening to KGNU. Well, NED Speaks is a project of the Netherlands Public Library, and it is an oral history project, and we're broadcasting some of them here on KGNU. And this morning we bring you Jessie Ansari. She's the chair of the Mountain Forum for Peace, as well as holding many other titles. And as part of this oral history project, we're hearing about life in the pandemic.
I mean, for us, Netherlands life kind of carries on uninterrupted. But personally, the pandemic for me has meant a lot more time physically at home with my four-year-old daughter and a husband who works full-time or more than full-time, which we're very lucky for. He's getting to work from home. But it's a lot to balance for me time-wise, being a parent and now being the teacher, with work, and I do freelance graphic design, chair of Mountain Forum for Peace, and I am the chair of the Nederland Towns Parks and Recreation Advisory Board. I serve on the Historical Society Board. I'm the manager and caretaker of the Netherlands' only house museum, the Gillespie House Museum, which is a fantastic little treasure too. And these are all volunteer positions that I take on since becoming a mother, because I became a stay-at-home mother. It wasn't economically viable for me to continue working with a child at first. So I took on more and more volunteer positions and got more and more interconnected with different things around town. But yeah, I do it because I love it. And I've met so many wonderful, like, caring, compassionate people through this. Wouldn't have it any other way. I just really appreciate living in a community that's worth being involved in, and that you feel like it's altruism, but you're getting something back. Everyone gets something out of it. Just if there's one more moment, I would just give a little word about Mother's Day, which is something else. Being this weekend at the time of recording, it will be Mother's Day tomorrow. And in the US, our Mother's Day dates back to 1870. And this is something Mountain Forum for Peace marks every year with a vigil at the Peace Garden. We mark 1870 when abolitionist poet Julia Ward Howe, she wrote the Mother's Day Proclamation. And that was an appeal for mothers across the world to unite for peace. Julia was an early feminist. And she believed women had a job to help shape their societies, both morally and politically. So every year, we usually get together, we read the Mother's Day Proclamation, and it's just a way for ourselves to feel a recommitment to peace and to the anti-war message, and a kind of a community gathering down at the Peace Garden. So this year we will be doing that remotely, as with most of our other actions. But no, it's a great thing to be involved in. And we'll also be hosting a series of speakers this summer, hopefully with KGNU's Alternative Radio's David Barsamian is a regular speaker of ours, who is fantastic. We will be hopefully doing a summer series of different environmental and peace-driven speaker series down at the Chipeta Park in town. So we're in talks with the town about that too. There are lots of good positive stuff.
That's Jessie Ansari, who is the chair of the Mountain Forum for Peace in Netherlands. She's also the chair of the Netherlands Town Parks and Recreation Advisory Board. And that was part of the NED Speaks series. And it's a project of the Netherlands Public Library, bringing you oral histories, and particularly this series on how the current coronavirus pandemic is impacting people in and around Netherlands. And we're bringing them to you on KGNU's Morning Magazine.